Thank you, Meg. That was beautiful. Tremendous. Kind of a hitting thing, isn't it? Never wear those crowns of thorns again. I tell you, he won't. He'll be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And those people marching on Washington today, they're going to wear a lot more than a crown of thorns all through eternity. Getting around screaming that they've got their rights. I heard a little bit of it on radio today. It just makes you sick and makes you ill to your stomach. Trying to say that a woman has a right. You know, they never argue anymore about whether it's a baby or not, or a life, do they? A woman's rights. Well, let's hope our Supreme Court doesn't get swayed by that, but they do. And that's what's so dangerous. I told you last week to hold on to your verses that we had. We've got a few to still go through. And then those of you who just came, hopefully you got both sets. And if you didn't, bear with us until you get with the next set of verses. We're going to start with authority today. And raising children. You know, we're living in an age that's the dirtiest word in the English language is the word authority. Oh, it just changed. When we were growing up, there was authority, and you didn't fight it. You didn't go around everybody protesting everything. There was such a thing as an authority, and you've heard me say over and over. In my high school, they spoke, and you listened. You walked down the hall. You walked on the right side of the hall. You didn't run up the steps. We're going to be slowing some of our own kids down here a little bit because they're doing too much running, and I've been grabbing them. And you parents, I want you to help on that. But we didn't do that. You did not run down a high school. You walked down a high school. And that was authority. You didn't even ever question authority. But today, we're taught to question everything. We're taught to murmur. Even Christians are taught to question and question and question and question. Now, there's a proper way to question. There's a right way to question. But not just to go do it haphazardly. The Bible says there has to be witnesses and everything else like that. But let's look at authority. Where do we get authority? Where does authority come from? You know, all the rebels hate that word authority. Our teenagers today, they literally hate that word authority. You know, people have been trained to literally hate it and to distrust it. And this is why many parents today don't know how to raise their children. They don't have any idea how to raise their own children. And parents, they're hopeless. They don't know what to do. You go to churches today, and this is a way to test the church. Look at their teenagers. And if their teenagers aren't serving God, you know the church is a failure. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they talk about. They're a failure. You go and you do the teenager check. And you go and you look and you see. And if they're rebellious and they're talking through the service and they're not paying attention and they're mumbling and all those things, you know the church is a failure. Now you can pretend. You can say whatever you want. But it's a failure. It's a failure. And this is the problem the parents have today. Now I'm going to give you the definition of authority. Authority is the right to rule, the power to act, to decide, to command, and to judge. I'll give that again. Authority is the right to rule, the power to act, decide, command, and judge. It is the right to set policy, the rulership to command subordinates, and the power to administer judgment to those who disobey the command or reward those who conform. That's what authority is. Some people don't know that. Now, you guys from the Navy, you understand that. Did that sound about right? You have no problem with that, do you? Mm-mm. And that's good. But see, we've got teenagers today that don't know what that is. We got teenagers today that couldn't go in the Navy if they had to. They wouldn't be there one day. They'd be They couldn't stand it. What do you mean I can't have Frosted Flakes and Sugar Pops and Captain Crunch for supper? You know. You know, at first glance, this looks like unbridled power that can be used to oppress. And it scares people. They say, well, we don't want unbridled power. But you know, isn't it funny, when we were growing up, no one worried about unbridled power, right? When someone was in a position of authority, you believed that they'd earned that position, you didn't question that authority. You know, of course, unless there's something weird going on, but those things didn't really happen back then. At least I never heard of it, hardly. I'm sure it happened, but you don't hear of it like you do now. But see, God puts control on all, or I should say limits. God is the one that places those in authority. Remember that. God is the one that places people in authority. And there's limits. And I want us to be able to see this. Now, keep in mind that God is in control of all authority, and He has the position to enforce it. You know, a lot of people think they get away with a lot, but I guarantee you, when you misuse authority, you're going to pay the price. If you as a dad or a mom misuse your authority, by that, I mean you come and say, now I'm the great dictator, and I'm, watch out. God's going to take care of you. Now, we're going to try to look at the proper balance of authority and how we're to use it. Now, why does God have authority? Now, that's a silly question, isn't it? Why does God have authority? Why does God have all authority? You know, I really believe that there's people today that are born-again Christians, that are true born-again Christians, that if God Himself told them something, they'd say, I don't understand that. Would you explain it? I really believe that. I really believe that what God Himself does say. And, but they don't pay attention. Look at these verses, Psalm 47:2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth. Now, I want you to notice this word, Most High, because no man in the Bible is ever called the Most High. It's only referring to God. He's a great King over all the earth. See, we don't look at it that way anymore, do we? We don't look at the fact that Jesus Christ really does rule and reign over all the earth, because look at all the terrible things going on. But you got to remember, during this time, God has put authority, and He says we're to obey the authority, unless that authority makes us disobey God. See, God always gives this, children are supposed to obey the parents, unless the parents are trying to get the children to do something that's wrong. And then the children have to obey God rather than men, and we're going to look at this a little bit later. Psalm 83:18. That men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. See, God has all authority. And yet people don't want to accept that anymore. Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, Thou say unto the children of Israel, I am sent me into you. In other words, Moses says, what authority? And Jehovah says, I am. In other words, nothing else is, but He is. I don't mean we don't exist, but what I'm saying is He's the ultimate power. There is no other power. We all like to have power. We all like to believe that we're so wonderful and so great and so this and so that. And God in one second can just wipe us out. I just read in the paper this afternoon that Warren Moon had just signed the highest paid athlete ever in the history of pro football. And it's not deferred. I mean, he's making millions and millions and millions. I don't remember all the details. And he said, I was the highest payer in the Canadian Football League, so I guess that's only right. He's kind of a humble man. And yet he can be dethroned just like that. Just like that. And we're all so proud, you know. And we don't want to give authority to the one that authority belongs to. Exodus 6:6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. I want you to see that, because it's talking about He has the authority. He has the authority to bless us. He has the authority to curse us. He has the authority to do whatever He wants to do. Exodus 11:7. But against any of the children of Israel, I like this one, shall not a dog move its tongue. If they are walking with God, He says, and this is putting it in a way that everybody can understand it, a dog won't even move its tongue against you. Man, that's powerful. Against man or beast, that they may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Let me tell you something, dear ones. If we will serve Him, if we will use authority the way it should be, if we would obey authority and teach our children to obey authority, we would have blessings that you would never believe. But I tell you, when you strut around and you go out, I'm not going to, you hear what he says, and in front of your kids and you say these things, you teach disrespect, and you're not going to have the blessings of God, because I tell you what, the blessings of God come because He has placed authority and He's told us to obey authority. But see, that's what we're not doing today. That's what we're not doing today. Look at Daniel 4:34. And the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation, the most powerful man on the face of the earth. He acted like an animal. He went into a state of frenzy. He went in and literally howled at the moon and everything else. He was an animal. And he woke and came to himself, and he says there's only one God in His dominion. He's got all power. He's from everlasting to everlasting. That's what real power is. You don't have any power. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You don't have any real power. You think you do, but you don't. We have no right to strike against the Most High. How many adults really never grow up and they really question God? You know, this always scares me. There's for ladies with breast cancer, and it's called the Why Me Club. There's too many Christians that go around, why me? And they question God. Listen, I think that's the most hideous thing that any of us, you or I, could ever do, is to question God and not grow up. You've got to realize that God has all right. When Naomi went back to Bethlehem in Judea, and she went back to Bethlehem, she says, I have done wrong. God has dealt harshly with me. But she didn't go, why me? She accepted it. God has dealt harshly with me. And I'll tell you, we see Ruth, and we see Ruth being blessed. We see the whole family being blessed. We see Ruth being blessed because Ruth said, look, I'm going to go and serve the God, the true God. And I don't care whether I'll ever marry or not. I don't care if I'll never see my family again. But Naomi didn't go, and she didn't go and say, why me? Why me? Why has this happened to me? You know what that is? It's a sign that you've not grown up, dear ones. It's a sign that you're a baby. Well, why doesn't God bless me? Why doesn't He do me and help me? Because I deserve this. Listen, God has a right to do whatever He wants to do whenever He wants to do it. We don't have a right to question it. But why don't I get blessed like somebody else? Because God has done what He's wanted to do when He wanted to do it. Period. And He's got that right. Of course, we know God's fair. And we know usually when people talk that way, they've got things in their own life and they won't admit it. But forget about that. God's got a right to do whatever He wants to do. He's God. He's God. He's got a right. If He wants to do something, He's got a right to do it. And you're not going to stop Him. You know, politicians are going to come and go. The last mayor of Hawthorne Woods that gave us 3 citations in one day is gone. Now, I'm not smiling. I didn't endorse anybody. Three citations in one day was pretty heavy, wasn't it? Said our fence out there wasn't approved. Isn't that a terrible thing, having that fence driving up here? Said we had a vacation Bible school sign that we shouldn't have had up there. The new mayor ran. He said, I'm going to do away with all these cotton-picking ordinances. He says, you can't have a truck in your driveway. You can't have a boat in your driveway. You can't have anything out here. You can't have a fence up. He said, I'm sick of it. And he won. Nice, isn't it? Can't have anything because we're Hawthorne Woods out here, you know. We are so wonderful. And you know, can't have a truck. I mean, a truck would be terrible for us to have our eyeballs fall on a truck as you go by. How about the poor man that has to earn his living with a truck? Well, that's not an honorable living. We don't believe in people earning livings with trucks out here in Hawthorne Woods. I hope this isn't going to be on that tape for the next 20 years. Probably the mayor gets saved and start coming here and say, could I hear your child tape? No, I don't think so. We're putting on an addition. I used to say little addition, but it has grown considerably. And we went to David Summer to get the cabinets, and David really does have it down pretty good. And I'd say, David, what's your phone number so I can call you? And he said, no, I'll call you. And I couldn't understand this, you know. And so we were sitting there, and I said, David, I got to have your phone number for Dave Lively. And he goes, he gives me the first three numbers, and he goes, blah, 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 blah. It was 6666. I couldn't understand why he didn't want me to know those numbers. 666. He goes, 666. I said, what's that numbers again? I guess he thinks I think he's a compromiser. David, where are you? David, there he is. If y'all want to buy cabinets from the Antichrist, there he is. He finally blurted it out, and I said, 6666. Well, and it says, I don't know why they did this, you know. Oh, boy. Anyway, let's grow up, right? Let's grow up. Psalm 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He has pleased. You believe that? Romans 9:20. But O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to the thing that formed it, why hast thou made me? Has not the potter power over the clay? Are the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Now that's not saying some people are born to go to hell and some are born to go to heaven. It's saying that God's got power to do whatever He wants to do. It's simply saying that. He has the right to rule what He's created. You don't have the right to question it. You don't have the right to say, why doesn't God do this to me? Because you're questioning the authority of God Himself. And if you want to be in a dangerous situation, you question authority. You want to have a great life, then you accept authority. And you believe that there's no authority that God didn't place. Now you say, what's this got to do with raising children? Well, if you don't understand authority, you can't raise children. Period. But what's it got to do with adults? Well, if you don't understand authority, you can't be blessed of God. And we'll see some more about this. Daniel 4:35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. You see that? All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? But how many people, born again Christians, question why God does what He does? But we do. You know, God looks upon us like we would ants, you know. We look upon ants and we go, man, are they pretty organized? But look how small they are. And if there was a weightlifting ant, or if there was an ant that was a great football player, or a great basketball player, you'd look at that ant and say, who does that ant think he is? You know, but we think, oh, but we're so great. We're so great. And that's how God looks kind of down upon us. You know, God looks at people going to the moon and trying to get to Mars and Jupiter and different planets, and He looks at them and He says, that's not much. See, God gives boundaries. No authority exists except as appointed by God. Now you say, now wait a minute. If you were in Russia and Gorbachev was your head, should you obey him? As long as what he tells you to do does not conflict with God. Because anything is better than anarchy. Now, if Gorbachev says you can't worship God, then you're going to worship God. Anything is better than anarchy. But all authority is given. A man asked me today if I'd known and saw what was in U.S. News, and I did. And Gorbachev's a Jew. Well, all the people that are trying to get everybody together, Hitler was a Jew. Kind of interesting, isn't it? As we see the world coming together for this last one world battle, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, by the way, next Sunday night I will not be doing this, okay? I'm going to be in St. Louis at our new church there and with Pastor Walker. Paul Vasquez, you know you're preaching next Sunday night, right? Yeah. Paul's going to be he's going to have a church down in Quito, Ecuador. Jane, they don't have electricity. They don't have screens. Are you practicing? Paul said he's going to make her sleep in a tent to get ready. Jane's lived a pretty rugged life there in Schiller. Now, where do you live? Villa Park. Not Schiller Park. That's your name. That was your old name, wasn't it? Look at Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Now see, this word power is the same Greek word for authority. You see that? God commands every soul to do this. You are to be subject. But so many people, today we just learned to strut. That's one thing I just can't stand. You know, you see these teenage boys just strutting. You know, I tell you, I can't stand it. We had a boy in our school last year and he'd strut. I tell you, I could not stand it. He's so proud and arrogant. Strut. You better watch that kind of stuff. But anyway, this verse states that no power exists except by God. The word ordained means to place, station, appoint, or determine someone in an official position over others. You see that? God turns His power over to others. You say, even unsaved people? He sure does. When He wants to punish the people of God, He turns His power over to even unsaved people. He sure does. Now, each institution is ordained of God. Now, what are the three institutions that are in the world? The government, that's one institution. The home, that's the other institution. What's the other one? The church. You better know that one. Okay, the three institutions. Now, these three institutions are ordained of God. That's the only three. Which is the most important one? Well, the church, the family, the government. I don't know that you can break them up. We know the church is the body of Christ. But we know that if the church doesn't obey the other rules and laws, that you don't even really have much of a church. But they're independent, yet they're not totally independent. Because we have some sort of obligation, a family, and the father's the head of the family, but the family's still part of the church, and we're still part of the government. But these are the three institutions. God turns His power over to others. And you're to follow that unless it conflicts with the will of God. Now, let's explain that. The wife is to submit herself to her husband, but not if it's going to mean the ruination of her family. Or vice versa. You're to submit yourself to your pastor, but not to the ruination if there's something going on that's not right. The family, the church, the government, we're to follow the government unless there's something going on that's not right. Each one has its limits. A father can't make a son steal. A father can't make a son steal. But it says children obey your parents. And see, obviously there's that one exception. That exception is in sin. But God is the one that takes a stand. And I tell you, you see history, and whenever one institution tried to overrule the other, we saw breakup. Tremendous breakup going on in America and in the world when one tries to overstep the other. Now we're seeing the family being broken apart today because they're trying to overstep the boundaries and the government is trying to take over the family. As a parent, you need to understand these. Now, we're going to be looking at the next section, the next verses. We're going to be looking at parental authority. Parental authority. God has established parents as one of the ruling institutions on earth. Not only the right, but also the power necessary to do the job. See, if there's no power to carry out the right that God's given you, it's worthless. If we didn't have our armed forces and the president said, we're not going to stand for what you just did, they'd say, tough. We have to have the power to do the job. This gives a child protection, direction, and instruction. This gives the power to whomsoever God has placed in that position. Someone says, does it have to be the natural parents? No. Whichever one that God has placed in the home over the children, single, guardian, or when the children are at school, the school has the right that God has given to the parents because during that time, the school is the one in authority over them. Because they're filling in for the parents. The one who marries the remaining parent has full authority before God over that child. Because of God-giving authority, the parents have the right to set their will above that of their children and command them to follow them. Well, we don't have that today, do we? I tell you, you can't hardly go to a restaurant today without having it ruined. Can you? Can you? You go to a restaurant and there'll be some kid just screaming, jumping up and down on the booth. And the parents will say something like, we don't act that way, do we? You heard me say that over and over, but that's what they say. And they're wrecking everybody, throwing plates at them and stuff like that, throwing spaghetti on their heads. And they say, we don't do that, do we? Oh, the rudeness. I was in a line yesterday. You're not going to believe this. This kid came up, and he got behind me, and he was trying to get to the salad thing. And he's going like this and pushing me. And he's reaching all the way past me. Linda says, how come you're taking that? And I said, well, it's just not worth a scene here. But it was getting close. And I'm thinking, where has this kid been raised? Well, he hasn't been raised. Kind of sprouted up as a weed, didn't it? No understanding, no manners. I mean, I'm not exaggerating this thing. This thing was terrible. This kid was, and you know, man, slobbering practically on me, and I'm going, ugh. We need to be able to see these things. We have the right to get the kids to follow us. Children must obey both father and mother. God does not say that they have to obey father more than mother. This is where we fail a lot of times, because a lot of times the mothers will say, well, I let the father do it. Or the father is so lazy that he lets the mother do it. Laziness. They don't see it. Their eyes aren't open. They're not paying attention. And their children are doing all kinds of things and they never see it. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now remember, whenever you see a verse like that, you take it in its context, and that's not saying, children, steal. If your dad says steal, it's saying, children, obey your parents in all things. And of course, the obvious exception is, of course, sin. The Greek word translated obey is a command and means to hear and obey. This means that children must do what they're told. You notice it says hear and obey. Some of you sometimes say, Pastor, why do you repeat things so many times in the pulpit when you're giving instructions? Because people will go around saying, I didn't hear that. They were trained like that as children, never to hear. We're to make sure the children hear. I always say, now, you repeat what I just told you. Okay. We need to learn to do that, right? The word obey, and it means to hear and obey. This means that children must do what they are told. You have the power to create laws, and your word is law. Dads and moms, you have the power to create laws. You're the mayor and the chief of police. And we need to do that. Now, at the same time, you know, you don't want some, well, now I'm the, you know, the father goes on, okay, line up, you know. We're not talking about that. You know, let's say here at the church, I'm the authority and the power that God has placed here at the church. Now, if I go around with the wrong attitude, I'm going to wreck the people, and I'm going to answer to God. If I give wrong advice, I'm going to answer to God for it. And it's a heavy responsibility. If you as a dad or a mom, and you start getting dictatorship tendencies, and you start saying, here I am, look what I've got, here's my domain. I've had a bad day at work, but man, when I get a hold of my wife and kids, I'm going to show them who's boss. Well, if you've got that attitude, brother, you've ruined your family. We're going to see how we react to those attitudes in just a little bit. Now, here is how we kind of coincide this. Here's a parallel. Children, obey your parents in all things. But it also says in the Bible not to commit murder, right? So obviously a child, if the parent said, I want you to go murder the neighbor, I'm upset because he stole my watch today. The reason I say that, there's a man that just killed a man because he dropped his glasses or something. I just heard it. Something like that. And you're not supposed to commit murder, right? Now who are you supposed to obey? You know, we're not supposed to commit murder, and yet the government has a right for the death penalty, and it's right and it's biblical. Because when you take a life, brother, you should forfeit your life. You don't believe that. Read the Old Testament. It's over and over and over and over. Even if they did it innocently, they had to go to the city of refuge. But if they took a life, premeditated life, they forfeited their life. No other institution has the power that God has given the family. The child is commanded to obey. Now, what's the basic difference between obey and submit? This is what we kind of need to know. Submission appeals to the attitude of a voluntary acceptance. A wife is to submit herself unto her husband, and if she wants to be blessed, it's a voluntary act. Should be. But a child does not have a choice. It's not a voluntary act. It's to obey. The only time the government has a right over the family is when God's laws are broken. Incest, injury, and murder. Then the government has the right. See, there are boundaries. There are limitations. And when there's injury, and I'm talking about a dad's breaking a kid's leg, he's throwing them against the wall, and I'll tell you, in this world we live in today, it happens all the time. And it happens by these people that are against corporal punishment. See, they get so mad, they throw their kids against the wall. And they really hurt the child. They hurt the child. Or they do things that hurt them. And I tell you, you better be careful about that. You don't ever hurt your child. God's way doesn't hurt them. Oh, it may temporarily sting them, but it doesn't hurt them. There is no such thing as a child's rights. Oh, yes, as an American citizen, they have the rights, not being murdered or anything like that. But today the tendency is to make the child responsible to the state rather than to the parents. The word obey is in the Bible 66 times. Here's a few. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." See, they were to obey the government. They were the powers that be. But now they said, "We are to obey God rather than man." Romans 6:16. "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." You see that? I just threw that in there. "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness?" Listen, you want to be blessed and you learn to obey. Now the children have a greater blessing than we do because, see, many of us should have been disciplined as a child and we weren't. And then we've grown up in this society that we want our rights. And we mumble and murmur about everything. Oh man, he's got a right to his opinion, and the kids hear these things. Well, I don't understand why Pastor Floyd did what he did. I mean, don't you know? I don't understand why Pastor Julian did what he did. And man, the kids hear those things and you've ruined your children. I don't understand, you know. Why so-and-so did what so-and-so did. I don't understand. Watch out. Look at Hebrews 13:17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief. For it is unprofitable for you..." Listen, parents, you didn't... Many of you... Didn't some of you got disciplined as a child? I got it a few times, not too often. I needed a lot more than I got it. When I got it, it was deserving. And when I got it, man, I needed it. But I wish I'd have had it more. It would have helped me a lot. It would have given me more confidence in life. It would have helped me have more security. It would have helped me to be a lot better preacher if I'd have had it. But you know, over the years, you kind of learn it, but you never learn it as good as if you're a child. What a thing it is. Now, the word submit is in the Bible 16 times. Let's look at a few of these. "Submitting yourselves," in Ephesians 5:21, "yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What does it mean that by submitting yourselves one to another? How? Well, the Bible says you're to submit to the pastor, right? Sure it does. Now, but the pastor has to submit to you. It says a wife is to submit to the husband. Now that doesn't... Now don't you go home and say, "Yeah, but it also says you're to submit to me." No, it doesn't. It says submit yourselves one to another. Your attitude should be, husbands, what can I do to be a servant to my wife? Now you're the head of the house, don't get me wrong, but that ought to be your attitude. Wife, your attitude towards your husband ought to be the attitude like Abraham. Sarah had to Abraham. And when your husband wants you to do something, don't sit there and bristle. Don't you bristle. You're to honor and reverence your husband. The Bible says so. Now, if I'm the pastor, I need to come up every day and say, I'm the servant of this church. I want to submit myself to this church. You see what I'm saying? Submit yourselves one to another. Yes, God says the husband's over the wife. It says the wife and the husband are over the children. It says the pastor's over the church. But it says submit yourselves one to another. So the husband ought to have the idea of submission. The wife ought to have everybody ought to have that idea. And it would be a great thing. See, what I don't want to do is teach this course and wind up getting a bunch more dictators that we don't need. Oh, here I am, I can't wait to get home. Where's my whip? Wife, get over there! Shoom! Some of you better do some weightlifting because your wife's gonna... Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know why it says your own husbands? Because there are some of these wives, they see another husband, I wish you were like him, and they act so nice and sweet. I don't mean they're trying to be wrong or anything bad like that, but they're so nice to everybody else. But their own husband, And they're always thinking, well, so-and-so's husband's so nice. You don't know so-and-so's husband. See, they're seeing the same facade that everybody sees with you. That's why it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. As unto the Lord. In other words, you're to do this just like you would if it was the Lord. Now, granted, you're not to do it in sin. Granted, you're not to the husband doesn't have the right to make you sin. Or the husband doesn't have the right to take you out of church. Or the husband doesn't have the right to make your children literally go down the tubes. No. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, for all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You see that? Don't go around strutting. Don't walk around strutting. You walk around with humility. Don't you, when something doesn't quite go right, and you get your back up a little bit, and the fur on your back ruffles a little bit, and you learn to submit. I'll tell you the difference is so wonderful. And what we're going to see with the children, it's going to be a wonderful thing. So I want you to be able to see this. Children are not to be allowed to revolt against their parents ever. You hear about a college being taken over by the students. Some college the other day took it over because they didn't like the food. Well, they ought to just give them the college. They ought to just leave them. Say, why don't y'all feed yourselves? You're so wonderful. But we let this happen. I'll never forget that feud that the great Jim McMahon had with Ditka. And he says Ditka was schizophrenic and had two personalities. Ditka doesn't have much respect in my eyes because he accepted that. Jim McMahon should have never played another ball game. But see, we're living in the age today of let's patch everything up. Let's don't do what's right. Parents, never, never, never compromise when you know what's right. And you do what's right. God gives much for parental authority. Look at Matthew 15:4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and that he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Boy, I tell you, don't you ever, ever curse your mother or your father. Exodus 21:14. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from my altar that he may die. That's capital punishment, my dear friends, and God Almighty ordained it. Verse 15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if you slap your father or your mother, you're to be put to death. No, I know in this age that we live in, that's not going to happen. But that's the crime, and that's what God thinks about it. Verse 16, and he that stealeth a man or selleth him, or he that be found in his hand, he shall be put to death. 17, and he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Oh, but we're living a different age now. No, we're not. God's rules and laws never change. And I tell you, when we let kids sass us, well, I tell you, when we get through the rest of this, don't give up on what I'm saying tonight. You just hang right in here. Don't you give up. Don't you get tired, because what I've got is worth hearing. And I'm going to try to get ahead and try to finish this thing up tonight if we can. And all the people shall say amen. You know, the people were in agreement to this thing. Proverbs 30, verse 17. And the eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother. Now listen to this. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now this isn't speaking about our junior varsity team. They're going to go eating the eyeballs. Do you see this? Do you see what we're saying? Father and mother are to have equal roles as parents. God will not tolerate flagrant disrespect, even to the death penalty. And the government alone had the power, but the parents were to testify against such a child. The parents, if they did not testify against that child, God was going to do even worse to them. If they did not do it, let me tell you something, parents. There are some of you that do not demand respect. You let it go. And you think you're helping the child. Let me tell you something. The only way you're ever going to help your child is to do it exactly the way God says. Never any other way. Let's look at Deuteronomy 21:18. And if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and then that which they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and into the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear him and fear. Man. You say, now wait a minute, that's a little strong. Don't you think God's as serious about it, obedience? God's kind of serious about it, isn't he? You say, how terrible. First of all, there's too many parents that aren't willing to take a stand and do what's right. They're just not willing. Let me tell you a secret. If you saw a child, because he's rebellious, taken out and stoned, you would quit being a lazy parent, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Oh, man, boom, I'll take care of you. You're not going to get away with this. You quit being lazy real quick. You know, you come in now and you're kind of haphazard and your kids are doing stuff. Well, you know, I've had a hard day at the office. Woman, you take care of it today. And your kids are being terrible, you know. I tell you, if you'd seen them stoned, hey, I don't want that to happen. They're going to take you out and stone you. I don't want to be stoned. I tell you, you wouldn't have too many of it happening, would you? I bet you wouldn't have it happen more than once a lifetime. Man, you'd see these kids, oh, I don't want to get stoned, you know. I remember one time when we were in junior high school and about five kids in my class went and stole a boat down the Ohio River and took the boat across. And while we were there, they came and they picked up those kids and took them to jail. And I tell you, I determined right then I was never going to jail. I said, never, 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 never. The principal got... He said, those guys deserve to be in jail. He got on the microphone. He didn't spare anything. You know, we're going, oh. And when they got back, I still remember their names. I tell you, they made a real impression on me, a lasting impression. I said, man, I don't want to go to jail. See, people today just don't fear anything. Oh, but we don't want to have fear, you know. Let me tell you something. The Bible says things that are incredibly clear. This keeps you from being a lazy parent. This keeps you, the parent, the child. We had a situation one time, and these kids were really doing bad things. They were making a terrible mess. I won't go into any more details. They were making a mess in our school. And the parents said, all they were doing is trying to have good, clean fun. If it was a mess in their house, it wouldn't have been good, clean fun. Someone tore up my mailbox the other day. And they tore someone else's up in the same school. And someone said, well, he ought to be forgiving. I'd like to see how forgiving you'd be if your mailbox was torn up. Should that be forgiven? Oh, well, we're just a bunch of love. No, that ought to be punished and disciplined, shouldn't it? But we say, oh, no. Oh, we're supposed to be loving. But isn't it funny when it's your ox being gored? It's not so funny, isn't it? Oh, well, the preacher, his mailbox was ripped and torn up and smashed. Well, he ought to be forgiving. But if it was your mailbox, you know, it's a little different story, isn't it? See, this protected the whole nation of Israel. For if they won't respect parents, they won't respect the nation. If rebels escape the death penalty, God's Word promises direct judgment. Now let me tell you something, parents. When you don't do what's right, if your kids are living in your house, they should obey you, period. Okay, let's see what happens when they don't do what's right. Isaiah 3:13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. This is the priest. His sons made them vile, and he doesn't restrain them. And now look on down now to Isaiah 4:10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man to his tent, and there was a great slaughter, for they fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. One of the reasons is because the high priest would not restrain his kids. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were slain. See, he didn't do anything about it. Well, you know, I'm the loving father, and I'm the loving mother, and I'm not going to do... Listen, you're always better doing what's right. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh, and the same day with his clothes rent and with the earth upon his head. And when he came, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. Now, this man loved God. Eli loved God. He loved God a lot. But he didn't restrain his kids. He let it go. You know, he was the loving type. Well, you know. Oh, yeah, they're a little bad. But you know, I've had a hard day. Wife, you know what it is to judge Israel? You know what it is to have all these rebellious children and rebellious people all the time? When I come home, man, my home is my castle. And his kids got worse and worse and worse and worse. And when the man came into the city, he told it. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise? Turmoil. And the man came in hastily and told Eli. And he found out that his kids had died and all those people died because he would not do what he's supposed to do. You say, is it really that serious? Listen, it is serious. And there's too many parents. The kids, well, my kid's crying because my kid's tired. But when we're tired, do we have a right to go boo-hooing? Oh, what's wrong? Well, I'm tired. Oh. You know, kid's tired. Well, my kid's this. And I always got an excuse. Always a reason. Now listen, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed and say, oh, I hope they don't do this in front of pastor. Don't worry about that. I expect kids to act up. But I expect parents to get their act together when the kids act up, right? See, that's the difference. Don't be embarrassed if your children get bad. Don't be embarrassed if your children get bad in front of somebody. Oh, I expect children to be bad. I've had my own. Hey, don't be embarrassed. You just do what's right. Don't give up. I don't judge you if right in front of the preacher your child does something wrong. If your child never did anything wrong, I'd think there's something wrong with your child. But it's how you act that makes a difference. Okay, now let's look on down. Proverbs 30:10. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet it is not worse from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. I want you to see that. Now we're going to just try to finish this up. I'm going to skip a few verses. Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now listen to this. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Parents, if you love your children, this is the best. I asked Pastor Oswald the other day, I said, do many parents resent when you call them and tell them they got to quit work and come and get their sick child? He says, not those that love their kids, but those that don't love their kids resent it. God has a plan for everyone, for every child. So don't let your childhood keep you from serving God. Let's say you had raised in a bad home. God makes no mistakes. And God will take care of rebellious parents too, won't He? As a parent, you will make many mistakes. Even though we will make mistakes, we're human and we have that right. We have that right. So we're going to continue on. I can't really go any farther because we've got to keep them on the tapes tonight. Now, next week, I'm going to be in St. Louis. So I don't want anybody to be mixed up or confused. But then after that, we'll continue on until spring lab. And we'll see all the difference and all the things that will be made. I want to just share a little bit more with you on the gospel. It won't be on this tape. But I don't want any of you to leave here without understanding the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is good news, and good news is something that is the greatest news the world's ever known. Well, what is the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ died in our place. And if He died in our place, we don't have to try to get to heaven by our good works. Isn't that good news? Sure it is. It's the greatest news we'll ever see, or ever hear. It's a tremendous thing. This is good news.